Open up to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Let's see, Roger, did Lori go next door and she's ministering to the little ones? Okay, we want to make sure she gets to see this. I don't know where the other one is, but there's that one. She'll want those. Acts chapter 2, and it's really good that Acts chapter 2 is really close to Acts chapter 1. Because we'll end up looking at both of them and then we'll look at some more. But hallelujah. Let's pray. God, you're good. You're good and worthy of praise. And you're good and worthy of worship. And Father, I think of Sarah's prayer earlier and that I can speak what you want me to speak. But Father, today when people walk out of this place, I pray this. What's remembered is you. What's remembered is your word. What's remembered is you working through people, Father God, where you're the center, you're the focus. And I just thank you that you've gifted each one of us with an ability. We're not sufficient. And every one of us in here I know knows this, that we are not sufficient in and of ourselves to think that anything comes from us. But Father, I pray that this truth starts to hit each and every heart more and more. And that is that our sufficiency comes from you. And you, God, have made each and every one of us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter of the law that kills, but of the Spirit that gives life. And we just let the Holy Spirit work in our lives today so that sufficiency is just set free and turned loose, Father God. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Well, Acts chapter 2. It's kind of interesting today. I don't have a whole lot of notes, but I got a whole lot to share. Amen. Come on now. That was a great place for an amen. We'll get started here. Acts chapter 2. And I presented a question. It was kind of the main theme for last Sunday. It was one of the questions that we put out there. And it's this. It's which camp are you in? You know, there were other truths that came out, but I want us to all be thinking about this. And this message, this thought, these messages is born out of a prayer time. About a month or more back, just a prayer time. And what God spoke to my heart, and it ties in with what he spoke to my heart about 5-6 months ago, and that is that a calm buildup before the advance. And I'm going to keep repeating these things for a while. I don't know how long. I guess until we see the advance. You know, but that calm is to get into the presence of the Lord. To calm our lives down. Amen. Turn and look at somebody and say, please calm your life down. And then now when I say that and you start coming up with all your excuses why you can't, start there. Amen. Start there. Start with all your reasons why you can't calm your life down. I can guarantee you, you can. You can calm your life down. You can calm it down. Amen? In our family, there's this thing. Caleb, every once in a while, look at his mom and say, calm down, mother, just calm down. You know? The calm. You know, my dad used to tell us, you look like a chicken running around with its head cut off. I'd never seen a chicken running around with its head cut off. I'd never seen that. I had no idea what that looked like till I was about 25 years old. And some folks in Rushville said, hey, come on over. We got some chickens for you. I'm in. Get to the yard and they're running around. Oh. So then this guy, he was chopping off the heads. And the first chicken that got its head cut off and then he turned it loose, you know what thought came to my mind? Dad, I did not look like that. I mean, no way, I did not look like that, Dad. But you know what? Sometimes when we're so, it's hard to absorb. It's hard to take in. So we just need to calm ourselves down. And in that calm, in that presence with the Lord, and those that wait upon the Lord, shall renew their strength. Amen. Do you know God can give you the wisdom to get something done And about a tenth of the time, if you go ahead and just do it in your own strength and your own energy. Amen. And then he puts a peace in there as well. You know, he just puts a peace. And you don't break 10 things in the process either. You don't have to cut that board 4 times. You know, I measured it. I cut it. It was too short. I cut it again and it was still too short. Sorry. The calm and then the advance. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. I like the thought of running and not getting weary. I like the thought of walking and not fainting. I like the thought of mounting up with wings of eagles and just choo, between now and the time I leave this world or Jesus comes back, whichever happens first. The high water mark of a person's life ought to be the day he leaves this world. Amen. Keep advancing. Keep moving forwards. I got a kick out of Willis Dunick. Got to have lunch with him on Easter Sunday. He was up here alone and got to have lunch with him. And how old's Willis, honey? 82? And we're sitting there talking, and I know he was telling me something. He said, Pastor, you got to keep moving forward. Got to keep moving forward. You got to keep moving forward. Here's a guy who's 82, and you know what he's talking about? Moving forward. Wow. A lot of people at that age think about laying back. Yeah, but no. I want to keep moving. Amen. So, amen. Keep the feet moving. Praise God. And Ernie, you know, I'm a preacher. You should have said, keep the mouth moving. Not sure you want to go there, huh? While I was praying, and one of the things that God shared with me to do to get us ready for the advance is he said we need to get the vessels ready. We need to get ourselves ready. To get ourselves ready. And that's where this is coming from, and getting ourselves ready. How many of you want to be ready for all the things that God has for you to do? For all the things that has. So that's what we're talking about here. Is getting ourselves ready. And how many of you know sometimes in getting ready, you got to have your head ready? You got to have your head ready. You got to have your soul ready. You got to have your heart ready. You got to be ready. And that's just part of it. And the fact that God moves in some wild ways. Have you ever seen God move in some wild ways? And sometimes people don't like the way he moves. But you know what? I decided he's God. He can move any way he wants to. And it's not for me to judge how he moves. It's for me to know that it's him doing the leading, guiding, the directing, and for me to hook up and move with him. But lots of times we think he ought to move like we want him to move. Well, here in Acts chapter 2, I want to just look at verses 12 and 13. This is the day of Pentecost when they got filled with the Holy Spirit. And all of these people there, they've seen this, the 120 come running out and all this is going on, and they all hear them praying in tongues. And this is, I'll pick up at verse 11. Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongue the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying, whatever could this mean? There's one group that they're standing, observing, and watching. They're amazed and perplexed. And then they're going, whatever could this mean? How many of you want to be in that group? How many of you want to be in that camp? That you're standing there watching God move through people. And what you are is amazed and perplexed, going, whatever could this mean? I don't want to be in that camp. I don't want to be in that camp. I don't want to be amazed and perplexed and wondering what's going on when God moves. Amen? Now the next one. Verse 13. Others mocking said, they're full of new wine. In other words, there was a group of people there on the day of Pentecost who accused them of being drunk. Well, I don't want to be in that camp either. How many of you want to be in that camp? You know, crediting the moving of the Holy Spirit as somebody who's drunk. want to be in that group either. Well, there's a third group on this day. You know who the third group is? The 120. The 120 is the third group. I don't know about you. I know about me. I want to be in the group with the 120. That's the group I want to be in. I want to be in the group that the Spirit of God is moving on, and I'm moving with Him. Now think about this. Think about this. I want to challenge this, because how many of you know in the future there will be things come up and God will move in ways that you've never seen before? Had anything like this in Acts chapter 2 happened on the face of the earth before? It's brand new. They had never seen it before. The 120 hadn't seen it before. It's brand new. But what did they do? They let God do on them, in them, and through them what He wanted to do. And they went with Him. Even though it was brand new, and even though it was something that they hadn't seen before, guess what? They knew Jesus. And He had talked to them about the Holy Spirit. And they knew God. They had a relationship. So they did know enough. Oh, this is you. Because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost are all one. Amen. Amen. And so when the Holy Spirit got on them, they were like, oh, this is familiar. This is the same. This is the same. There's a connection here. How many of you know the Holy Spirit and Jesus are not all that different? They had different functions. It was Jesus' job to become flesh, to take our sin upon His body and to die on that cross. That was His responsibility. I like to put it this way with the Trinity. God, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost, they're all one. They have different functions and different responsibilities, but they're all one. Amen. And for me, that's just a good way to get it. So when the Holy Spirit came on the 120, it wasn't something radically unfamiliar in relationship-wise, in heart-wise. Boy, now it was something brand new to the, you know, to the head and the eyes and all of that, because this had never happened before. But they knew Him well enough to go with Him. And one of the things in preparing your vessel, in preparing yourself, is to know Jesus well enough to move with Him when He moves, and to not move when it's not Him and it's just people saying it's Him. Because that's one of the things that'll happen in our lifetime. Maybe we'll get to that today. Maybe. But I had this question. How did this 120 get there? How many of you would like to get and be where this 120 was? And so on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, they responded. How many of you want to respond properly with God in what He's doing? Whether it's this afternoon or tomorrow or whatever it is, you want to respond with Him. Amen. So what did they do to get here? What did they do? Here's just a couple of thoughts. Here's one of the things they did. They hung out with the Word. They spent time with the Word. They spent time with Jesus. And Jesus was the Word. And the Word was made flesh. And He dwelt among us. One of the things they did was they hung out with Jesus. They hung out with the Word. Amen? Amen. They hung out with the Word. Now here's another thing they did. They were obedient. Turn and look at somebody and say, obedient to the Word. Go ahead and say that one again. Obedient to the Word. I love this. Who is it? I got to go there. I don't remember. By faith, he obeyed. That was Abraham. What did Abraham do by faith? Obeyed. Isn't that interesting? You can obey by faith. Sometimes as parents, we don't care how our kids obey, just as long as they obey. But how many of us know without faith it's impossible to please God? There are times when our head and stuff might be, ah! But just, I'm going to obey, God. I know You. I know the Word. I'm going to obey. I'm going to step out and do what You said. It's amazing the things that happen as a result of our obedience when we obey in faith. Think about the priest carrying the ark across the Jordan River. And the Jordan's, it's flowing good. And they're told, step out in the water, and the water will back up. I wonder what their feelings said. You be one of those priests right now in your mind, okay? You got the pole. Pole's running through. It's carrying the ark. There's like, let's say, four of you on each side. You got this pole. And you're walking out into the Jordan. I don't know if it's hot water or cold water. But it gets to your ankles. I don't know how far out they went. Let's say it gets to their knees. How many of you are wanting to see something happen with that water pretty soon? It gets to your waist. And I don't know, has anybody looked it up? We talked about this last week a little bit. Anybody look it up and see how high the water got on their body before it actually heaped up? I don't remember. If I've read it, I don't remember it. And I have read it. I've read it, I just don't remember if it says. That's an assignment for somebody. Yes, Terry? The soles of their feet, praise God, touched the water. And that water did what? Backed up. But what did they have to do first? They had to step out. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So these 120, they hung out with the Word. They spent time with the Word. Today for us, that's reading our Bibles. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus would speak the Word to us. Today, how many of you are hanging out in the Word? You're hanging out with the Word to where the Word becomes part of you. Man should not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. How many of you know when you eat food, when you eat physical food, it goes into your body and becomes a part of your being? Same concept when it comes to reading the Word of God. It maybe doesn't become a part of your physical being, and in some senses it does, but it becomes a part of your spiritual being. It becomes a part of your character. It becomes a part of your life. It becomes a part of who you are. Amen? It goes into your being and it gives you sustenance. It gives you life. It gives you energy. It gives you peace. It gives you joy. It gives you healing. And that becomes a part of who you are. So then when circumstances of life come along and poke you in not such a kind way, joy comes out. Peace comes out. Why? Because you've put it in there. You've absorbed it. It's a part of your being. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So they hung out with the Word, and then they obeyed the Word. Where'd they obey it? They went to the upper room. They went to the upper room. And they stayed there. They stayed in the upper room. Until what? Until the day of Pentecost. Now, another thought. I've said it, but I want us to look at it in our Bibles. So in Acts chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, and I got a few names to read. I think they're all pretty easy. Sometimes I get to some names in the Bible, and they are just a major pain. How many of you found that to be true? And I used to gripe about it, but I decided to quit. Because anybody has a last name like Zhulkovsky should not be griping about other people's names. So I gave that up. I just do the best I can. So these all, well, I missed it. 13 is the disciples, or 12. Yeah, 13 is the disciples. And then it says, these all continued in one accord in prayer and supplication. Watch this. With the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Altogether, the number of names was about 120. Say 120. I'm bringing this out for a point because as I was praying this morning, this came up to me, rose up in my heart. There are people who think, I don't need that. That was for the apostles. That was for the apostles. That was for Peter and James and John and, you know, the other apostles with them. I don't need that. And just think for a second. Who was in that upper room? The 11, plus Mary, the mother of Jesus, plus women who Could we call them support ministry? Could we call them helps ministry? And I just like numbers and think about this a little bit. So you had the 11 apostles. And then how many people did you have to be a part? And let me just do this. Of support ministry. Of encouragement. For just almost, it's 1 to 10. Just look at it that way. For every one apostle, there was 10 people there to help them. So, was getting filled with the Holy Spirit just for the 11? No. You know what? There's probably 90-some unnamed people who got filled with the Holy Spirit as well. Amen. You know what? The Holy Spirit is for everybody. The Holy Spirit is for everybody. Turn and look at somebody and say, the Holy Spirit is for everybody. It's not just for the preacher. It's not just for people that, you know, get on the platform. The Holy Spirit is for everybody. Amen? Turn and look at somebody and say, the Holy Spirit is for you. Look at someone else and say, the Holy Spirit's for me. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I want to do something. This is going to seem kind of random, but I want to put this in here today, and this is a good place for it. I got this illustration from a guy, and a lot of you who have ever done construction can relate to this. And I almost brought my saw and a board and thought cut it and everything, but I talk too long anyway, and then when I don't talk long enough, to be honest with you. But then if I stick in my illustrations, that lengthens everything. But and you know, anybody who's done construction will get this. You get it. So there was this minister, and they were building a new church. And he just wanted to help. He wanted to help in the biggest way. But he didn't really have any building skills. You know, he just didn't really have any. And, you know, he keeps bugging the contractor. And finally, one day, the contractor says, okay, I got something for you to do. I got all these 2x4s here, and I need 100 2x4s 6 foot long. So will you cut me 100 2x4s 6 foot long? So the guy, yeah, I'd love to, man. He's so excited about it. So here's what he does. He takes his tape measure out, and he cuts his first one 6 foot long. Cuts it off, and he just leaves that line. Right there it is. There's that line. So that very first one he takes, and then he sets it on the second one. And he draws a line. And he cuts it off. And he leaves the pencil line just like he did on the first one. Now he takes the first one. The pattern. And he sets the pattern aside over here. And puts it down. And now he takes the second one. And puts it on top to cut the third one. And he puts his pencil mark on there. And he cuts it just like he did the last one. And he leaves that pencil mark. And he takes the second one that he cut, and he puts it over here, and he sets it down, and he takes the third one that he cut, and he picks it up, and he puts it on the board, and he cuts the fourth one with the third one. And he puts the pencil mark there, and he cuts it just like the last one. He leaves that pencil mark. Now, I got a lot of you looking at me. You know what's going on, don't you? What is happening to every board he cuts? They're growing. Okay, we got, you know, lots of guys in here. How much might they be growing by? Eighth of an inch? 16th of an inch? Pick one. He's got to cut 100 of them. If it grows by a 16th of an inch, every board, every 16 boards, it grows 1 inch. Now he's going to make a wall out of this. So after you do 100 of them, how long is the last board compared to the first board? It's about 6 inches longer. If it's an eighth inch, it's a foot longer. What's the point of this? Over the centuries, man has added to the original. You guys? got to go back to the Word. We got to go back to Jesus. He's the pattern. Amen. And people have added. People have said, well, in church history, you know, I don't care what church history has added. Did you know in the Old Testament what they did? What the Pharisees do? They added. They added laws. They added requirements. They added all kinds of things. And the church world has done the same thing. Now, think about this. What are you going to have to do with them boards? If you use them, what are you going to have to do? You got to cut them again. Anybody ever hear something, you know, in the realm of politics where the government gives something and then if the government tries to take it back, what do you have? You got riots. You got, no, you can't take that from me. No, that's mine. It's my right. I deserve. Can we talk about what you deserve? No. Be good, Joel. But in the church world, people have added stuff and put stuff in that really isn't part of what the Master says. You ever try to take that away from people? Well, we've been doing it like this for 20 years. I don't care. Amen? I don't care. At some point in time, we've got to get to the purity of the Word and the purity of what God wants. Amen? We have to. What time is it, Dick? I'm picking on you, but he's checking it out. He's thinking this pastor's getting to the end. No, he is not. Dick would never do that. Dick would never do that. Grace might, but Dick wouldn't. No. Yeah, nobody will believe that. So sometimes it's really hard. I would ask you to look in your own life and see, man, have I put things in my life that weren't there in the original? You know, and I've said this many times, how come it's harder to become a member of a church than it is to get into heaven? Because man added. Man kept adding stuff. Do you know in the church world today, there are churches that preach and teach that abortion is okay. They're going along with the society around them. In this world today, there are churches that teach and preach that homosexuality is all right. There are whole denominations that teach and preach it's okay to be gay. And you can even stand behind the pulpit and be a minister as long as you only got one partner. And there's churches. That's church doctrine. How many of you know that's not Bible? That's not biblical. That's not a part of the pattern. But I tell you what, if you have a conversation with them, you got a fight on your hands. You got an argument. And there's all kinds of things like that we do. Now, here's another thing. I want to put this in there. How many good God ideas are happening in churches all across the United States today? How many of you think there's a whole bunch of good God ideas happening this Sunday morning in churches? Okay? And they are right and they are of God. Amen? How many of them should we do? Depends on it. Well, I said they're right and they're of God. How many should we do? We should do the ones that God tells us to do. Because see, if we tried to do all the good God ideas that all the churches in America do, guess what? We wouldn't have time to do what He has for us to do. We'd be so busy doing all these other things that are not wrong. They're just not for us. Do you ever notice in the book of Revelations, when Jesus, you know, talks to John and they write letters to the seven churches, did you notice that every letter was unique? for that individual church. You know what we have a tendency to do? Is sometimes we have a tendency to copy. We just copy what somebody else is doing. Do you know what that takes away from? That takes away from the relationship that an individual has with God. You know what? When it comes to my relationship with Diana, how many of you know she does not really want me just copying what other men do for their wife? She wants more than a copy. Somebody say amen. Amen. You guys, she wants the original. Oh, yeah, I just can't help it. I was doing so good up to them, and then I just blew it, didn't I, Grace? But she does. She didn't marry some other guy. She married me. Amen. God wants an intimate, personal relationship with you, not a copy. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to flow with Him. I want to flow with Him. And then, okay. How many of you, when you either leave this world or Jesus comes back, you want to be found doing what the Father has for you to do? Amen. And how many of you know that there's a lot of things that would love to get us off track? There's a lot of things that would, you know, really like to stop us from getting to the end. Amen. So I want to look at the book of Jude just here briefly. I won't get to look at everything I want to, but we're going to look at something in the beginning, a little bit in the middle, and then a promise at the end, and a most amazing promise. And some of you might even actually have it underlined in your Bible in the book of Jude. It's just an awesome promise. But notice what Jude says, and you know, you could go to the book of Acts chapter 20. You could go to Ephesians chapter 4. You could go to 1 John chapter 2. You can go to Jude, and you can find this warning. You can find this warning about being a little careful that you don't just get sucked aside. How many people have gotten sucked aside by people? Amen. So I don't want to get going down that. Y'all still with me here? How do I get to the end and not get sucked aside and still flow with God in all the wild, crazy stuff He does that I've never seen before? Do you see the two sides of this? I mean, I don't want to be standing there amazed and perplexed. I want to know, God, that's You. I've never seen it before. I've never encountered it before. But that's You, and I'm right there with You. Let's go, God. But I want to make sure I don't get pulled in by the trickery of men, the cunning craftiness of Satan. And here's the thing. The greatest deception is that which most parallels the truth. And then I just want to say this. This is a repeat, but I need to say this, so allow me to do it. I call it that there doesn't seem to be a really direct correlation. Anybody in here, you don't have to raise your hand. I know this is true. Anybody in here got areas in your life where you need direction and you need answers? You got areas in your life. You have need of something. You have need of direction. I got a great story that just came to mind. And I said this, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago. You take the Word and you take the Holy Spirit, and between the Word and the Holy Spirit working together, you'll find the answer that you need. But do you know what we sometimes want? We want a real direct connection. Because sometimes there doesn't seem to be a direct... God will want you to work on one thing, because that one thing that you work on over here will fix this over here. Here's an example. It was John G. Lake, and he was praying for a man. This man was sick. He was, you know, looking like he was going to die, and John G. Lake was praying for him and kneeling by his bedside praying. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. And Pretty soon he gets done praying and he looks at the man and he goes, does 2,000 mean anything to you? And the guy in the bed goes, well, yeah, it does. Well, tell me about it. Well, my brother and I, we had a business. And we dissolved the business and we divided the assets. And I'm the one who did all the work. I'm the one who did, you know, all the dividing and everything. And there was this $200 left. And I figured that since I'm the one that did all the work, I should just keep the $200 or $2,000. I hope I said 2,000. I meant to say 2,000 every time. And John G. looked at him and said, you got checkbook handy? Tell me where it's at. I'll get it for you. I want you to write a check out right now for $2,000 to your brother. So the man did it. Sent the check off. Guess what happened in his health? He was well. He was healed. See, sometimes there's an issue here that God wants to talk about. And getting this thing taken care of over here, which we might think has absolutely no correlation and no connection to this over here. See, we're over here trying to figure this thing out. And God's saying, excuse me, could you listen to me for a second? And okay, all right. I want you to come over here and look at this. God, no, you don't understand. See, I got this problem over here, God. Folks, if we'll spend time in the Word and letting the Holy Spirit talk to us, He will give us answers that don't seem to have a correlation. And it's kind of like this. I'm not going to back up and read it, but where in Acts chapter 1, the disciples asked Jesus, is it at this time that you will restore the kingdom of Israel? How many times are we looking at our issue? We're looking at this right here. Everybody do this, would you please? This is your problem. This is your issue. This is what you're looking at. God, I need this fixed. God, I need this. Is it at this time that you're going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Is it at this time you're going to heal my body? Is it at this time you're going to, is it this time you're going to straighten out my mate? Is it at this time? And we're just focusing on this. But guess what God's focusing on? He's got a much bigger plan. Boy, if we'll just back up. Say, oh God, let me see things like you see them. What's important to you? What really matters to you? Because I think sometimes God will bring stuff up to us and say, here, deal with this. And it's right here. I mean, it's right in front of our face. God will say, deal with this. And our response to God might be, God, that's been there for years. That's been there for so long. And that's what He's wanting us to deal with. This morning when we were singing that song, Shout. 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 There's areas, and I don't know about anybody else, I know about me, in my life where the enemy has tried to reach in and to take his claws and grab a hold of. But shout for the victory. Shout for the victory. Today, in this place, during worship, His claws were removed. And I have the victory. And I'm shouting by faith. I'm shouting by faith. Amen? I'm shouting by faith. And how many of you know sometimes this thing over here can radically affect that over there? Amen? And part of the reason for that is you might come to church and think what I'm talking about and what I'm preaching about doesn't connect with your issue. But the one who does is where I want to get you to go, so that you and He can talk and He can direct you into the victory. What does shouting have to do with over here where Satan's trying to latch on? By obedience, by faith, I just shout, amen, and break the chains, get the victory. Amen. Hallelujah. Should we try to get to Jude yet? Y'all doing okay? It seems like you are. Seems like stuff's just letting its way in. You know, you're letting stuff come in. So praise God. Just want to get to Jude. Jude was amazingly prophetic for one chapter. Amazingly prophetic. Now, notice what he says here. We're just going to start to pick it up in verse 3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once and for all delivered to you. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So, are you catching this? And did you, verse 3, beloved, I was very diligent. Everybody say very diligent. I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation. I found it necessary. It is necessary for Jude to write this. I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly. I mean, is there any effort? Is there any battle? Is there any determination in this? Is there any focus? Is there any deliberate? Yeah, there certainly is. He's after it. To contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For what happens? For certain men have crept in unnoticed. What will happen in every one of our lives as we're after the things of God? There's going to be people who sneak in. Men! Turn and look at somebody and say, men! Aren't you glad it doesn't say women, ladies? How many of you know here the word men is just covering mankind? Not off the hook that easy, ladies. Amen. But you, what? They're people that might try to do what that you've known? Deceive you and lead you astray. Amen. There's warning is throughout the New Testament. It really is. Do you know what I want you to do? I want you to get to the end of your race. I don't want you to get pulled off track by somebody who's a deceiver. By somebody who's added something to the word. By somebody who doesn't really look at the pattern anymore. But they're picking up a copy that somewhere in the generations got put into church doctrine, but not Bible doctrine. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So Jude's giving them this warning. He's giving them this warning. Let's just jump to the end of the chapter. We could say book, verse 24. I don't know about you, but I got this highlighted in my Bible. I highlighted it in my new one. What an amazing promise. Watch this. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory in exceeding joy. Oh my gosh, how many of you just like the beginning of that even? Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. And keep it in the context that Jude was writing. People that will come in and try to deceive. What's Jude tell him he's able to do? Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. Anybody in here want not to stumble? I don't want to stumble. I have in the past. I don't like stumbling. I was working with Stan over on the farm this week, and man, we're clearing out trees that haven't been dealt with for like 30 years, 40 years, and there's underbrush and there's all kinds of stuff under there and working. And man, sometimes my leg get wrapped around my leg, you know, a vine or something, and just try to trip me. I don't like being tripped. Working up on the mountain on Crazy Horse. You know what happened when you trip up there? You know what you're working on? Your rock. You know what you're falling on? Rock. I don't like falling on rock. It hurts. Turn and look at somebody and say, it hurts. I don't like it. And then I worked in the woods logging. And I remember one time there's big rocks. They're 10-foot high rocks all over the place, and the trees are mixed in around them. And I tipped this one big gnarly limby tree over on top of these rocks, and I got to cut all the limbs off it. And I'm about 8 foot off the ground, and there's a big boulder here and there, and I'm going down, and I didn't have my shoes with spikes in. And I'm going along, and all of a sudden I fall. I slip. I'm down off of that tree, in those limbs, in those rocks, and I still got the scar right here where the chainsaw hit me on my head. That was so much fun. No, it was not. I didn't like it at all. When I got back home that night, I went to my brother Mark, who I'd gave my shoes to that had the spikes in, and I said, I want those back. Because I don't like falling. I don't like stumbling. I love the fact that Jesus is able to keep me from stumbling. Amen. Amen. But you know what I have to do? I can't pick up one of these copies that has had inches added to it. I can't pick up one of these copies that's had doctrine, man's doctrine, traditions of men added to it. Would somebody say amen?
Amen.
Because this is good preaching whether you like it or not. This is true whether you like it or not. I actually don't care if you like it or not. I care if he likes it. That's where it matters. Amen. And if it bugs you, figure out why. It might mean there needs to be some adjustment. That's good, Joel. Yeah. Amen. Honey, where was I? Yeah. The promise of not stumbling. But notice this. Notice this also. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, watch this, and present you. How many of you like the thought of looking forward to him presenting you? Faultless. It's not just a matter of not stumbling while we're here on this earth. There's also a day when he will present you faultless. Before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. I don't know, I love to have a picture like that of the day that I get presented to God by Jesus. The day that you get presented to God by Jesus. Jesus is going, hey God, I want to show you this man. I want to show you this man, God. See this man here? He is faultless. And God's like, woo! And guess what takes off? Exceeding joy. Amen. I look forward to that day. I think you'll be happier that day. I mean, faultless. And you know what happens when we get forgiven today by Jesus? Guess what we are? Faultless. Amen. I look forward to that day. Amen. He's able to keep us from stumbling. Thank you, my friend. Praise God. He's able to keep us. Glory. Now I want to put one thing in here. And then I'm going to call it quits. You've been so good. Hallelujah. Go right into the middle of the book of Jude. Kind of, sort of the middle. Verse 16. These are murmurers, complainers, walking according to their own lust. They mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. Wow. Who is this again? I want us to get this. Is this some spirit without a body? No, this is a human being with flesh on who you can see. And what are they going to be doing to people? Well, they're going to be murmurers. They're going to be complainers. They're going to be walking according to their own lust. They're going to mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. They're going to be telling you what you want to hear so they can gain advantage of you. You ever had somebody do that to you? I have. I got better at identifying it. Because we all love to get, hey, good job. Hey, you're awesome. We all love to get that. But when there's a wrong motive behind it, it's actually very sickening. It is. It's very sickening when you learn to identify that. People are just building you up and building you up and building you up, and they won't get something from you. I've got good at identifying it. Guess what? They ain't getting nothing from me because I know what's going on. Amen? And have you ever tried to give somebody a compliment and they say, what do you want? I don't want nothing. I just want to give you a compliment. And I mean that. I don't want nothing from you. I just want to bless you. I just want to say something nice to you. And I'm not looking for a compliment back. Could you just say thank you? Amen? How many of you can just say thank you? Yeah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, keep going, Joel. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause division, not having the Spirit. What are they missing? The Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. I love those verses of Scripture. What are we supposed to be doing? But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. You know, part of that is praying in tongues. Part of that is praying in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And I can tell you, since we have increased prayer in our church and got more people praying, guess what? There's more inspiration and there's more prayer in the Holy Spirit. I can guarantee you, as the pastor, as the shepherd of this church, that God's giving clearer direction. God's putting more in my heart. And we're seeing more people get born again. We're seeing more people get healed. God's already doing more. Amen? Just from prayer. Just from prayer. Just from praying in the Holy Spirit. From praying, you know, as the Holy Spirit leads us. For praying those things out. Amen. I loved hearing about the horse whisperer. Bob, there's a lot of prayer that went into that, wasn't there? There's a lot of prayer. How many of you started praying a couple of months ago? I did. I prayed on a regular basis. Prayed for the place to be full. Turned my faith on. Prayed for people to get born again. Prayed for finances to come in. Prayed for Bob to get blessed in that ministry. How many of you know the meeting on Wednesday night was not the end? How many of you know the meeting on Wednesday night was not the goal? Because you know what Bob's got in his heart? He's got coaches in his heart. And he wants coaches to get born again. He wants coaches to get saved. He wants coaches to come to know Jesus Christ. And he wants coaches to stand in front of their athletes and the student athletes that they have. And he wants them to represent Christ to them for 25, 30 years. Amen. And over those 25, 30 years of his career, he actually literally touches thousands of young people's lives. How am I doing on that's the end? That's what he's after. Thank God for a great event along the way, but thank you for even more to have a greater impact in life. With people Bob will never meet until he gets to heaven. With people you guys will never meet until you get to heaven. But they're going to go, you know what happened? So-and-so went to the horse whisperer. And they got born again. And they heard these things from Dr. Lou. And then they became a coach. And then they shared with me and it changed my life. And I got to meet Jesus. And that's why I'm in heaven today. Amen. I'll tell you what, it keeps going. Folks, it keeps going. A lot of prayer. Praise God. And then I got to just put this and I'm going to quit. How many of you know there's an absolute connection between the Holy Spirit and walking in love? I've shared this. My kids could testify to it. My wife will amen it. Right, babe? One of the things I noticed in my life that happens in me, the more I pray in tongues, is the calmer and the more patient I get. My temper, you'd even wonder if I had one. But let me tell you, I have one. But it has been suppressed. And the thing that suppressed it the most was praying in tongues and keeping myself in the love of God. Amen? How many of you are looking forward to verse 24? Now to him who's able to keep you from stumbling. How does he do that? Well, in part, how he does that with the Holy Spirit. Let's go ahead and stand up. Did you get anything out of this today? If you say no, I'm going to say, well, that was your own fault. Because God was giving stuff. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Kim and Betsy are here, and Sally is here. Brian and Marge are off on vacation. Jeff and Rochelle are down grabbing their girls and bringing them home for the summer. Somebody go, woohoo! Anybody else got kids coming home for the summer? I love summertime around here when the kids come back. We got Caleb coming back. Amen. How many of you here have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? You know Jesus Christ is your personal Lord. There's no doubt about it. None whatsoever. Amen? No doubt. No doubt. If you're here and you're not sure, there's an opportunity for you to come forward along with a lot of other people for a lot of other reasons and receive Jesus Christ. Get to meet Him. Get to meet the original. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And if you're here and you need healing in your body, you need direction, you just want someone to stand with you, you just want someone to lay hands on you and speak healing into your life, come on up. Amen? What's ever going on? There's people here to pray for you. And you know what? We're not in a hurry. They're not in a hurry. They're not in a hurry. So just let God work. Let Him move on you. Let's close in prayer, and then that's kind of like the official end of the service, but it's not really, because God's going to keep doing stuff. Amen? But you can slip out if you want and do whatever it's in your heart to do. Father God, right now in Jesus' name, we worship You and we praise You. We love You. We magnify You. Oh, Father, thank You. Thank You for the Holy Spirit, and thank You for Your Word. Thank You, God. Thank You, God. Just worship You and praise Him. Take a moment, everybody, right now where you're at, and just talk to Him. Just go ahead and talk to Him. And you can talk out loud. You don't have to yell or roar or anything. But just tell Him thank you. Just tell Him that you open up your heart. You open up your heart and you just let Him keep talking to you. Let Him keep directing you. Let Him have the reins. Let Him be the head. Oh, Jesus, we worship You and we thank You. God, we love You and we thank You that the Holy Spirit has been given to us. And we thank You, Jesus, that You're able to keep us from stumbling. And You're able to present us holy and faultless to God one day. Thank You. Thank You. And Father, this morning, if there's a person in here and they've never met Jesus, they've heard about Him, but they've never met Him, that today they would, that the Holy Spirit would just talk to their heart and say, yeah, you really do want to meet Him. You want Him to wash your sins away. You want Him to cause you to be a new creature. Old things passed away, all things new. And Father, other folks in here, they need healing in their body. They need provision. They just need someone to stand beside them and lift them up in prayer. Father, we thank You. We worship You. And we praise You. And then even as we get to leave this place, as we get to leave this place, we don't leave You. We go with You. And You direct us throughout the week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Praise God.